Next week, most notably, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We'll also celebrate Good Friday on Friday night. We'll come together and we'll have communion together, we'll have worship together, and we'll reflect on what Jesus did on the cross for us that led to his resurrection on Easter Sunday. Pastor Nate did an awesome job last week of really preaching what is today's message, Palm Sunday. He preached it last Sunday to get us prepared so I could preach something we often skip and miss over, and that's Thursday. That's what takes place Thursday. So today, we're getting ready for Good Friday. We're getting ready for Resurrection Sunday. But the message today is victory begins in the garden of prayer. That's where it started for Jesus. I want to invite you this morning to turn to Mark chapter 14. If you have your physical Bibles or you can pull out your phones, you can do it there. We'll also have it up on the screen behind us. But Mark chapter 14, verse 32 is where we're getting ready to go. While you're turning there, I'll just share a little bit about my brother-in-law. He's a pastor out in California. I wish I could have played football with him. He's about 6 years older than me, so I came behind him. But at our alma mater, he is the second leading tackler of the history of the school. He's just three short of that record. He would have been first all time. He's a middle linebacker. He's smart, good, savvy football player. So I just want to set that up as you hear the rest of this story. As we happens in sports, we get hurt sometimes. And he had hurt his shoulder in this particular game and had to come off onto the sidelines. And the trainers were attending to him. And they were like putting pressure on his shoulder. I mean, kind of putting some, you know, a little oomph into it, and they're saying, does this hurt? Does this hurt? And he's like, no, no, no. And so they're like, they applied more pressure by moving his arm up, moving his arm up high, moving his arm back, and they were like, does this hurt? Does this hurt? Does that hurt? He was like, no, no, no. And they're like, well, Sean, looks like you're okay. We don't see any problem. He goes, it's the other shoulder. It's been nice to have that information to start things off, right? Sometimes it's good for us to identify the real source of our pain is. Sometimes we have things going on in our life. I mean, if anger like is a secondary emotion. We act out in anger. It's a secondary, not primary emotion. We act out in anger when we feel hurt. And sometimes we have things that are symptoms of something that's going deeper. And sometimes it's good to identify what the real source of that pressure point is, what the real source of the pain is. Some of you have been in these shoes. Maybe some of you walk in here today with the pressure point. You're carrying a hard emotional battle that you're carrying. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's a paralyzing fear. For others, it could be physical. You walk in here today, or you're watching online, and you're battling a chronic illness or disease. You're battling the dreaded C word. You're battling cancer. And just like as I'm getting older, and I'm finding out many of you, our bodies as we get older, they just start breaking down. I mean, there's different pressure points that we may feel. Some of you, it may be relational. You feel that pressure point today in your marriage. And you're feeling pain in your marriage, you're feeling brokenness in your marriage. Or maybe you're in a place that you want to find, like Felipe, you want to find, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Right, and you are single, and you're wanting to find, but there's no one in sight, and you're feeling a pain in that. That's real, we understand that. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's post-divorce. And it could have been recent, or it could have been years, but you're dealing with a pain, a pressure point in your life. And for others, it's just making decisions in life. Some of you are maybe at a place right now, you're making a critical decision. You have a critical decision to make about your future. You have a critical decision to make regarding your family and where maybe in your marriage, how you guys are going to proceed and go forward. These are all natural pressure points in our life that come with a natural prayer. A prayer that I have prayed at least 1,000 times, if not more than that. And I guarantee you, you all have prayed the exact same prayer when you have faced these pressure points in your life. And that prayer is this: God, take this away. It is our first response. It's a natural response. It's okay. I mean, I'm not saying here telling you today this is a bad prayer. This is our first go-to prayer often. It's like, God, take this away. And I thought back to my childhood, and there's not a lot of things I remember, but when I was about 10 years old, 9 years old, yeah, 1980, so I'd been 9 years old. Some of you are old enough, you'll remember this. There was this commercial, and there was this lady in this commercial, and little pictures were showing up, and there was a voice that we were hearing what her voice was saying in her head as the picture was taking place. So like the first one was, she was like, oh, the traffic, and there was horns honking, and there was rush hour traffic, and the next thing she was like, oh, my boss, and then you see this her boss yelling at her, and the next thing it's like, oh, the kids, and there's babies screaming in the background, and the kids are fighting, and then finally it's like, ah, the dog, and the dog's barking, and all these things are going on in her mind simultaneously. And for those of you old enough, the first services must be old because they were able to do this, so humor me if you will. You know the punchline to this. Cal gone. You guys are old too. We got some old young people. We got some old people in both these services. Cal gone, take me away. In the very next scene, she's in this bath, bubble bath, and she's just relaxed, and she's just at peace, and she's just enjoying life. But really, it's just an escape. It's just an avoidance. When that bath is over, I guarantee you that pressure and that pain was right back. I mean, she was feeling that once again. And we, in the same way, we kind of do the same thing. Sometimes we have things that we avoid because we don't want to deal with it. And we procrastinate, and we put it off. And we're dealing with a source of pain in our life, but we look for, and not bad things necessarily, but we look for just pleasure and things that would just fill our lives so we don't have to deal with. It's a distraction. It helps take our minds off those things. And for others of us, it might be we numb our pain, and we numb it with alcohol or drugs or sex or just things that we can just take away the pain for a moment. And it's a natural thing that human nature often does. Jesus did a radically different thing and models a radically different thing for us today. Jesus didn't escape pressure. He entered it. So if you'll join me in Mark chapter 14, verse 32. Felipe, you can come back every Sunday if you want to keep saying amen. It's okay. They went, verse 32. They went to the grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Gethsemane. This is a garden they often went to and got away from the crowd and often went to pray. Gethsemane has a meaning and there's a definite, not by accident or coincidence, symbolism. Gethsemane means oil press. It was an orchard full of olive trees. It was an olive grove. And in that olive grove, or maybe right outside that olive grove, would have been an oil press. And the purpose of that would be to crush the olives, to crush them and press on them to the point that the oil flowed out of them. And oil is known as a symbolism of healing. In the Jewish day, in the Jewish culture, oil, and we still today will anoint people with oil. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of God's healing power. So it's not an accident. It's definitely by design that Jesus walks into the Garden of Gethsemane because he is being pressed. He is being squeezed so that the oil of healing and peace and salvation could flow to us. It is definitely without a doubt. Isaiah talks about it. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Jesus was pressed for our peace. Friday, we're going to come here. We're going to remember that he was crushed on the cross. that his body was physically tormented and crushed on the cross. But I'm here to tell us and remind us from the scripture and the passage today, don't lose sight. Before his body was crushed on the cross, his soul was crushed in the garden. He was in agony, and he was pressed and squeezed. So out of his agony and out of his pressing and out of his crushing, we might find peace. We might be healed. It is definitely not lose sight that the weight of our sin is what caused this. He was feeling on Thursday the weight of the sin of the world. He was feeling all sin, past, present, and future. He was feeling the present sin of those there. He was feeling the future sin of us now. He was feeling the weight of this sin that was crushing and pressing him. Matthew Henry says, shall that light upon our souls which sat so heavy upon his? Now, I know we don't talk like this. This is like late 17th, early 18th century, from a man that we don't talk this way. But what he is saying is clear, that sin and the weight of sin crushed our Savior. The weight of our sin crushed his soul. And before he was physically crushed on the cross, his soul was crushed in the garden. So we need not be flippant about sin or casual about our sin. And I know God's grace is great. That's the good news. We celebrate the grace and the goodness of God that he freely gives us what we do not deserve. But let's not go to the level of saying God doesn't care about sin and he just forgives and forgets. Yes, he does forgive and he forgets, but it came at a price. His body was broken for us. His soul was crushed for us. We broke his heart in the garden. We crushed his soul and his spirit in the garden. It was heavy upon us, so our sin should be heavy upon us. And that's what makes the good news such good news, because he's forgiven us of so much. Verse 35, he went on a little farther and he fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass by. Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. What does Jesus do in the moment of his greatest hour of need? The same thing that you and I do in our hour of need. We pray desperate prayers. Jesus is fully God, but he's fully human too. And he's feeling this weight, and he's praying a desperate prayer. And it's a good prayer because it's a model for how we should pray when we're feeling pressed, when we're feeling squeezed. If you're following along in your notes today, here's some things I want us and I hope we'll get from this today. Number one, prayer is relational. He says, Abba, that means dad or daddy. This is a deeply personal, affectionate. And yes, we come to God in awe and respect, and we come to him in reverence. But make no mistake, Paul said we come to him boldly because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We can boldly approach the throne of grace and we can cry out just as Jesus did, Daddy, Dad, Abba, Father. Just like if you had a good father and when you're in trouble and you were struggling, what did you do in that moment? You went to your dad and you didn't go to your dad and say, Oh, thou is Father, that is thou so good to thee. Please have pity on your servant. That's not how we have been taught to pray. We've been taught to pray with a real prayer. We can come and say, yes, with reverence. But Heavenly Father, if you be so bold, Dad, it's a God that comes near. It's a God that is not distant. It is a God in which we have deep trust. You come to a good father because there is a trust that Dad's going to make it better, that Dad's going to help. And Jesus shows that prayer is meant to be relational. Prayer is meant to be honest. He says, take this cup. He prays an honest prayer. Hey, I'd rather not do this. If there's any other way, if there's a door number three, I would like to have the door number three, even door number two. I just don't want door number one. And we pray this prayer, and there's nothing wrong with this. Keep praying this prayer. whether it's stuff that you're going through and emotionally, relationally, or physically, keep praying this prayer. There's nothing wrong with it. Take this cup from me. You can be real with God. You can be real with our Heavenly Father. Just like we may be real in our marriage, our relationships. Especially if you're married here today, guys, you know this. When your wife comes to you and you notice a little something off and you say, is everything okay? And she says, I'm fine. Young and way ahead of your years in wisdom. She says, I'm fine. Now learn this, Malachi. Learn this. When your wife comes to you and says, I'm fine. Guys, what do we do? It's not a trick question. Do we sit there and go, that's the answer I was looking for. Let's go on. Only if you're an idiot. And it takes one to know one. In nearly 30 years of marriage this summer, I've been the idiot. And I'm like, okay, you're good. Let's go on. Let's just plow through this. Don't be an idiot. Same thing with our relationship with God. We can't hide anything from Him. We can be direct. He wants us to be direct with Him. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what we're thinking. So don't pray a pious prayer. Don't pray a prayer to try to impress. Be direct with Him. He can take it. The psalmist David, half or more of the Psalms are lamenting. And Jesus quoted it on the cross Friday night. My God, why have you forsaken me? God, where are you? Where are you when I need you? God can handle, He's got broad shoulders. He can handle us being honest. And finally, Jesus shows us an example of this, that prayer is surrender. Nevertheless, not my will. To move from, this is what I would like, but not my will, but your will be done. Verse 37. Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Anybody prayed and fallen asleep? Not a trick question. Guilty, done that. I know we have physical limitations. I've been praying before in a group setting, and I've gotten an elbow from my wife because I started snoring. So it happens to the best of us. Jesus isn't saying, hey, I need you to be physically there and on target all the time. He knows we have human flesh and human conditions, but this is a little bit different. Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me for even an hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The disciples, they're feeling a pressure too. This is a heavy moment for them. And maybe from their emotional exhaustion. Sometimes we go through things in our life and we are emotionally exhausted. And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're emotionally exhausted too. They're feeling pressure. But remember, they were the ones just moments ago, just a day before, that they're saying, Jesus, we will never deny you. We would never do this. Just moments before, Peter, I'll die for you. I'll die for you. I'll go to death for you. I'll never betray you. And the disciples went along with them and said, us too, we're in it. And then the next moment, here they are. They're asleep. They can't even stay awake in their friend's deepest hour of need. Jesus says, watch and pray. And this is more about a spiritual than a physical. Because our power is found in prayer. Good intentions collapse without staying spiritually vigilant. Our power comes through prayer. It's our secret weapon. Prayer gives us strength. Prayer helps us get through. It helps us to stay awake spiritually more than it is about a physical thing. It helps us to overcome. It helps us to be overcomers when we're staying in tune and we're in close proximity. It helps us stay vigilant when we're staying close to Him. The next and last verse, last two verses. When He returned to them a third time, boy, you know what really is on your heart and what's pressing you by the repetitive prayers that you pray. You know what's pressing you today by the prayers that you've been praying the last weeks and months maybe. The repetitive prayers reveal to us what is pressing us, and Jesus, fully God, fully human, he returns to them a third time after praying a third time. This time he's given up on the disciples. He says, go ahead and sleep, have your rest, but no, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's get going. Look, my betrayer is here. And we see Jesus has a breakthrough moment. Jesus has a breakthrough. Do you see it? Do you see the breakthrough? He says, up, let's get going. And you would think the next words would be, run, Forrest, run. Like, let's get out of here. Let's get out of the garden. But he doesn't run. He steps into the conflict. He steps into the battle. He has a change. He has a breakthrough. Here's the progression of breakthrough prayer. And it's not as we expect. It's not what you expect. It's not what I expect. First is this. Jesus showed us faith. He says, Father, you can do this. What he said exactly is, anything's possible for you. Father, anything's possible. You can do anything. You know, when growing up, you thought, my dad could do anything. He could beat anybody up. He could take care of anything. He's coming to him with faith. Father, you can do this. And then he shares his desire. Father, please do this. Please come through for me. Please help me find an escape route. Please help me to go a different direction. So it's faith, it's desire, but then that last progression that we often miss is surrender. Father, your will be done. Often we just go to number two, don't we? We're really good at, maybe I shouldn't speak for you. I'm going to speak for me. I'm really good at number two prayer. Father, please do this. Please help with this. Please, you know what's going on over here. Would you just please make it happen? Give a breakthrough. I'm praying, God, you for a breakthrough in this area of my life. God, would you do this? What we often miss is one and three. I mean, sometimes we skip past the faith because we're not coming to God in faith. We're coming to God in fear and doubt. And we're just throwing up a Hail Mary. We're just throwing up a prayer. We're just like, God, I'm at the end of my rope. I've tried everything else. Nothing else is coming good from this. So, God, I'm just going to throw out a wish list. If you answer it, it would be really great. Jesus says, no, he starts off with, I know you can do this. You can do this. You are my heavenly Father, my Father, you can do all things. You can deliver me from this. Father, please deliver me from this. But then he goes on to number three, which is the one we often get tripped up on. That's a hard prayer to pray. It's a hard prayer to pray, your will be done, when the will may not align with what you want or what I want. That's a hard one. But it is this prayer of surrender that Jesus knew that victory at the cross began with surrender in the garden. Victory at the cross began with surrender, and this is about two gardens. This is about a contrast of the Garden of Gethsemane, but it's also a contrast to the garden that was first from the beginning, the Garden of Eden that was perfect and was paradise, and Adam and Eve had everything they could want and desire. There was just one stipulation, but they rejected God and they wanted their will, not God's will, to be done. And because they sought their will and their will alone, they brought to us and entered into this world sin and death. Sin and death was introduced into our world because of their failure to want only their will. Then Jesus comes 2,000 years ago and he enters into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, not my will, your will be done. And because he wanted God's will to be done, he brought life and peace. Life and salvation. Because his surrender in the garden brought the victory to us that we're going to celebrate next Sunday on Easter, on Resurrection Sunday. Here's what prayer is and what prayer does for you and for me. Five things I want to share with you. Number one, prayer is being real. Be real. Be honest. Be raw. Jesus modeled to us to be real and to be raw. It's been a tough couple weeks for a friend of mine in ministry. He's a pastor in near Olivet, where my daughters went to college. He was Riley's pastor for 3 years. And his wife reached out to Heather, and I've been in contact with them the last couple weeks. But while we were gone, well, Heather and I weren't here this last week, or last Sunday. And while I was at a conference, I received a text from Heather, and Dave, Pastor Dave, his wife reached out and said, "Hey, would you pray for us? We're going through a really hard time. Our church is going through a really hard time. Our 35-year-old, one of our 35-year-old pastors, young pastor, married 13 years, raised in this church. He was on a scissor lift 35 feet up in our sanctuary, and he fell onto our pews. It fell on top. We found this out later. Took 30 minutes to extract him out of there, and he would die at the hospital. Last week, I watched Nate do a great job about riding in on a donkey and talking about how we, what we celebrate today. Today's really a celebration day, but we just never get to talk about Thursday unless we have a Thursday service too, and three-fourths of you wouldn't come. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying you wouldn't. So Pastor Nate preached Palm Sunday last week, and we're preaching about Thursday today. And I watched Pastor Nate give a great message last Sunday, and then I turn around second service, this service, and I watch my friend preach to a grieving congregation and a pastor who is grieving and brokenhearted himself. And I watched him disciple, if you will, his church on grieving. And it's okay to be raw and to be real. And I watched him shout out to his congregation, "I hate this God." He yelled it. He just let all that emotion that was bottled up in the room that his church was feeling because they lost their other two senior pastors to cancer. This is their third loss they're experiencing, and this was such a tragic loss. And he just says, it's okay to not be okay with this. And God can handle us not being okay with this. And he just began to say, "I hate this, God. I hate this." And he invited them in to join him, and most of that church joined him in, "I hate this, God." Prayer is being real. No matter what we're going through in the darkest hours of our life, God wants his people to be real. He can handle, he has broad shoulders. He already knows how we feel anyway, so we might as well be honest with him. Prayer is being real. Prayer prepares you. I just assume that this pastor, his name is Pastor Sean, I just assume that probably that kind of a fall, he was unconscious. I didn't find out till I watched the funeral this last Tuesday. It was online, and I watched it. I was praying for my friend. And he was conscious. He had a great sense of humor. He was a fix-it kind of guy. He was our operations pastor, and he was at the bottom of this rubble with this equipment on top of him, and he was telling the paramedics what tools, or the first responders, what tools he thought would be the best. And his wife was like, typical Sean, giving out orders, even when he's, you know, can't do anything. And the paramedics, the EMTs, came back to the church after he passed, and they wanted to make sure that they told the pastoral staff what transpired on his way to the hospital. They said, our whole way to the hospital, he was conscious, and you would think he would have been praying for himself, but the whole time, he was praying for us. He was praying for us. He was praying for our peace. He was praying for our strength. He was praying for our help. You see, battles are won before the crisis. The strength comes, and I'm not saying God doesn't hear our prayer in the moment, but if we want to be strong in our faith and in the Lord, we got to be reaching out to him before the crisis comes. I can tell that Pastor Sean was prepared for this moment. He was prepared for the crisis. Prayer is trust. He found that out. When you're crying out, Abba, Father, that oftentimes I have found that God is closer to us in our crushing than he is in our comfort. You've heard people say, I have a peace that surpassed my understanding. It didn't make any sense that I had peace in this moment. oftentimes God shows up and his presence is best felt more in the crushing than in the comfort. And I would say this is true again for Pastor Sean, because my pastor friend Dave, he was with him in the hospital when he gave up his last breath. But before he did, his last words were, "I'm at peace. I'm at peace." Because he had such a deep level of trust in his loving Heavenly Father. And this is what, I'm sure it wasn't what he wanted. He didn't wake up that morning hoping this would happen, hoping that he'd have this testimony that would be shared with others. But he was prepared. He completely trusted. Yeah, I would say it changes you. Prayer changes you. I love the prayers that God changes the circumstances. That's what we all master in. We're masters in praying, "God, change the circumstance. Change what's going on. Give me favor. Give me blessing. Give me the best parking spot." I mean, we pray some cheesy prayers. We pray all sorts of things. And there's a lot of me prayers. And there's nothing wrong with that. God loves us. I want my girls to come to me for anything and everything. God wants us to come to him for anything and everything. And it's okay to continue to pray, "God, would you change this? Heavenly Father, Abba Father, would you change this? God, I'm praying for a breakthrough. I'm praying for healing. I'm praying for deliverance. God, would you do a miracle in my life?" That's a great prayer. Keep praying that prayer. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. But the bottom line is this: prayer is more about changing you than changing your circumstances. And prayer will change you. It will give you a peace like Sean had in the moment when he was coming to the end to say, "I'm at peace because my trust is in God. My dependence is on him." Prayer is about dependence, dependence. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When we try to get through this life on our own power, we're going to fail. I promise you. You and I will fail when we try to do it on our own strength. The spirit is willing, though. Our flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. And if we will trust in the Spirit of God, if we will put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we will have victory, whether on the mountaintop or in the valley. We will have peace in the middle of the storm when we put our faith and trust completely on him. For Jesus knew this: victory at the cross began with surrender in the garden. Victory that gave him the strength to go to the cross Friday night started on Thursday night. Victory that came on Sunday in the resurrection first started in the prayer of surrender in the garden, because God had a bigger plan and a better plan. But victory at the cross began with surrender in the garden. And for some of us today, some of you walked into this room and you walked into your own Gethsemane. You're feeling pressed. You're feeling crushed. You may be feeling crushed by the weight of sin, or you may just be feeling crushed by the weight of life. You might be feeling crushed by and pressed by depression and anxiety. You might be feeling pressed and crushed by your marriage. You might be feeling crushed and pressed by maybe a wayward child or parents, or there's a lot of different things, or a decision, but you're feeling pressed and you're feeling crushed. And Jesus taught us that victory at the cross began with surrender in the garden, so the same is true for us. Victory for you begins in the garden of prayer. Victory is in surrender. It's not what we expected. It's not what the disciples expected. It's not what they thought. Peter thought, "Let's pull out the sword and let's take care of business." Jesus said, "I've come to lay down my life for my enemies, that I might have them turn to me and they might experience my love." So the same is true for us. Whatever's going on in your life, victory for you begins in the garden of prayer. Victory comes through our surrender. Not what we expect, not what we thought, but that's how God works. Would you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just know, being a man that walks this life, that we have doubts, we have brokenness, we have pain, we have hurt, we have pressure points. And for some in this room today, they're feeling some pressure points. They're feeling it in their marriage. They're feeling it maybe in their emotions, in their relationship. they're feeling the pain of brokenness and betrayal or hurt or disappointment, but I know that there's some of us today, we come in here, the things that you're praying about over and over, that's your pressure point. And today, no one looking around, but just you and God in a prayer. This is not a prayer of salvation. This is a prayer of surrender, but a prayer of, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand a moment. This prayer is this. You're raising your hand. You're saying this. God, I'm asking for you to take this away. I'm asking you to give a breakthrough. I'm asking you to do a miracle. But even if you don't, just like the three that walked into the furnace, Jesus met them there. And they said, though, even if he doesn't, even our God, he can rescue us. We believe he will rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we're going with God. Today, you have some pressure points in your life. Would you just, as a symbol of your asking God to surrender it to him, would you just, you and God, I don't have to know what it is. You just raise your hand. This is a prayer of surrender. Yep, plenty of us. It's called life. Any others today? You want to surrender. Your hand is, God, I need your help surrender. And I want you to deliver, but I need peace. I need your peace. And I know that comes only through surrender. Heavenly Father, I pray, you can put your hands down. Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends that they're reaching up to you. What a better place, there's no better place they could go than to reach up and look up to you. And God, I don't know what's going on in their life, but I am praying along with them. I pray for deliverance. I pray for a miracle. I pray that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, that we would experience freedom and miracles, and we would be set free. But I pray that we would all surrender to you and say, whatever you do, we trust you. Your will be done. We surrender it to you. And God, I pray for my friends right now, as they pray that prayer in their spirit, that a peace that surpasses their understanding will guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. I pray that they would be set free from carrying this burden alone. That they would know that you're a good Father. That you can do it. We're asking you to do it. But whatever, we're going to live in the sweet surrender of your will. With your heads bowed and your eyes still closed this morning, before we celebrate baptisms today, you have not made that decision to follow Jesus Christ and surrender your heart and life to him. Today, you can leave here with full peace, full joy, full presence of God in your life as a child of his. You would like to do that today? Would you just raise your hand? Just let God know, I want this in my life. I want forgiveness. Yep. You want this in your life? You want God's forgiveness and mercy in your life? You can put your hands down. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us the courage to believe what we're about to pray with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, all of our strength, so that when we walk out of here, we will know that we're a child of God, that we're loved by you. We love you and we praise you. Would you join me in standing this morning? We're going to pray this prayer together. Many hands were raised today. Many of us made this decision ourselves. The ones that are getting baptized today, this was their first decision to give their life to Christ, and now they're going public with it today. But let's take this first step in the journey with those that raised their hand today. Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he gave his life to forgive my sins and was raised from the grave to give me life. I receive your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow you. Amen. Can we celebrate those that made that first step towards Jesus today in following him?